Chapter 10. Lily's Story. Sam and I spent the evening driving around the London streets, looking for Lily. Then we sat on my sofa, eating toast. I feel like the worst parent in the world, I said. And I'm not even a parent. Louisa, you must try to stop worrying, Sam said gently. Remember what Tanya told you yesterday. Maybe Lily will just appear when she's ready, and we'll all feel silly. After he left the next morning, I called Mrs. Traynor.
She's what? She said, with shock in her voice.
And you've tried to call her? She's not answering her phone. Her mother said that she's gone off before and come back again, but I'm going to go and look for her. Mrs. Traynor was silent for a moment. Then she said,
Louisa, please can you give me Mrs. Horton Miller's telephone number?
After we'd finished talking, I called work to tell them that I was sick. Then I noticed an email from Nathan.
Well done! Mr. Gopnik is going to offer you the job!
But I couldn't think about that now. I spent the morning driving around pubs and nightclubs, showing Lily's photo to anyone that I could find. I knew that Sam was looking for her too.
Any news? I texted him.
No. I've called every accident and emergency department in London.
I knew that she was trouble, my sister said over the phone. And what happened with the job in New York?
Oh, that, I replied. Nathan says that they're going to offer it to me. But I can't think about it right now, Trine.
I would give anything for a chance to go to New York or even London after I finish college. I could get work if I live there. But the rents are just too expensive. You have to take this job, Louisa.
It's not as easy as that.
Lily is 16 and she has two parents. She has gone off for a few days. And you're going to use this as a reason to throw away the best chance you've ever been given. You don't really want to go, do you? You just want to continue in that boring job and be depressed. If you don't go to New York, I'll never speak to you again, ever. Oh, think about it, Lou. Lily is not your daughter.
I was woken at 3 in the morning by the phone ringing. It was Sam.
We've got her, he said.
Sam had seen her in the accident and emergency department when he and Donna brought in a woman who was having a heart attack. He noticed Lily being questioned by a nurse. Lily had admitted that she was only there because she needed somewhere dry and warm to sleep. They've given her some tea, Sam said, coming to meet me at the doors. I ran into the department, and there she was, with her hair pulled back. Her face was dirty and exhausted. When she saw me, she smiled, and as she stood up, I threw my arms round her. That night, I put Lily in my bed, and she slept for 18 hours. I lay on the sofa with the front door locked. The next day, I rang Tanya Horton Miller, who laughed and said, I told you, you wouldn't listen to me. Next, I spoke to Mrs. Traynor, who sighed with relief. Oh, thank you, she said, and it sounded like it came from somewhere deep. When can I come and see her? I got another email from Nathan.
Where are you? Have you seen my last email? He'd written.
I thought about Mr. Gopnik's job offer and sighed as I closed my computer. On the third day after her return, I woke up and Lily was gone. My heart jumped, but then I saw the open window. I climbed up the fire escape and found Lily sitting on the roof, looking out across the city. She was wearing her night clothes and Will's huge jumper. I sat next to her and breathed in the wonderful smell of the flowers. It was the beginning of a very hot day.
Lily, I said finally, what's going on? I want you to feel that you can talk to me.
She stared at her hands and whispered,
you won't understand.
And then I knew.
I'm going to tell you a story, I said. Only one person knows this, and telling him changed the way I felt about it.
I waited a moment, but Lily didn't speak. And then I told her about the teenage girl who had been at a party and how the fun had stopped. I told her how it had ended, with a sister silently helping her home, the girl's shoes lost and her body hurting in secret places. I told her how for years that night had stopped the girl doing the things that she wanted to do. And sometimes how all she needed was someone to say, it wasn't your fault. You didn't cause it. I don't know what this is, but you can get past it, I finished, gently. She brought her arm to her face and took a deep breath. Then, in a flat voice, she told me everything. She told me about Peter, the boy that I'd seen watching her outside my flat. She had met him some weeks ago at a party where she had got very drunk. Lily, Peter, and some other teenagers had sat in a circle playing a game called Spin the Bottle. Someone had to spin the bottle hard, and the person that it pointed to when it finished spinning had to choose truth or dare. Peter watched Lily the whole time, and at first it made her feel good, because he was the best-looking boy there. One of the girls spun the bottle, and this time it pointed to Lily, who said, dare.
Lily never says no to anything, said one of the girls.
Let's go next door. I want to see you without your clothes, Peter said. Lily shrugged.
Okay.
One of the girls pulled at her leg.
You don't have to do this.
But Lily shook her off and followed Peter into a bedroom which smelled bad and had dirty clothes on the floor. Suddenly, Lily couldn't see Peter's handsome face anymore, just his cold eyes. For a moment, Lily just stood there.
I'm getting bored, Lily, Peter said. It's fine if you don't want to do your dare. We'll go outside and say you're a chicken.
She didn't want the girls to think that she was a chicken, so she took off her clothes and lay on the bed. She did what Peter told her to do. A minute later, he had his phone out and was taking a photo. Then he started sending her texts.
I'll put this picture on Facebook if you don't keep paying me, he threatened her.
And then, one expensive bracelet and £50 later, Peter kept asking for more. He showed the other teenagers the picture as soon as he and Lily went back to the living room. The girls looked away, and after that evening, they stopped speaking to her. No one cared that she wasn't a chicken. She was just Lily the Slag. Soon her mother locked the doors so Lily couldn't steal any more bracelets or money from her. Lily moved to Louisa's, but Peter found her, parking his car for hours outside the flat. He sent her the photo again and again, and Lily stopped going to school. She got drunk with people she didn't know
and went to clubs. The last time they met, the day after Louisa had told her to leave, she had nothing to bring him. He had shouted at her on a pavement behind Carnaby Street, calling her a slag. She started to cry. Then suddenly, she heard a voice say, "Lily, are you okay?" It took her a moment to realise that the man in the suit was Mr. Garside, who worked with her stepfather. He had seen them arguing and parked his car next to them. He got out and looked at Lily. She began to cry and told him everything. The next moment, Mr. Garside threatened to tell the police everything unless Peter gave him his phone with the photo on it. Peter unhappily handed him the phone. When Lily told Mr. Garside that she had nowhere to stay, he had driven her to a hotel. He left her there and came back the next morning to meet her for breakfast. He was older than she remembered, and his hair was thin on top. She hadn't expected him to come with her back to her room after breakfast, where he started looking at the photograph on Peter's phone. "You really have been a bad girl, haven't you?" he said. "So, how will you pay me back for the hotel?"
"But," she began, "you didn't say..."
"Oh, come on, Lily," he replied. "You know that nothing's for free. I could be very good for you. I could give you somewhere to stay and help you get a job." Lily jumped up quickly and reached for her bag. "Think about it, Lily. You wouldn't want your parents to see this photo, would you?" He touched the bed next to him. "So, why don't we..." But Lily was already pulling the hotel door open and running down the hall, her bag flying behind her. She walked the streets of London all day and stayed on friends' sofas. All the time, she wondered what she had done and what sign she had sent. Why did everyone think that she was a slag? She imagined her mother's shocked face when she saw the photo. Frances's slow shake of the head. She had been so stupid. As soon as Lily went to bed that night, I told Sam what had happened. I had never been so angry. "Should we go to the police about Mr. Garside?" I said. Sam shook his head. "He'll say that it's not true and that he's lost the phone."
"Think," I told myself. "Think what Will would do."
"Sam," I said after a minute, "listen, I've got an idea.